We'd give a hearty welcome to everyone who has come out tonight. And there is one verse that I would like to impress upon the hearts of every one of you. One verse. And I'm sure that we could easily memorize that verse in a short period of time we're here. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. We'll read that. I'd like to impress that verse upon you. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, with the Father's angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This is a very precious promise for all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that the Lord Jesus is coming to reward his own. You know, Peter in his second epistle, he spake of the great and precious promises that are throughout the Bible that are given to all believers that they might be partakers of the divine nature. There are a lot of promises. But this coming is one of the most precious promises for a believer. You know, when we read through the Bible, and I read through the Bible, I read of three comings of the Lord Jesus. And I'd like to just bring before you those three comings. The first coming, it's when the Lord Jesus came to redeem sinners. We sang those hymns that spoke of that coming. Down from the glory the Savior came. He came to save sinners. And when we think of that coming, we think he came as a Savior. And the angels heralded his coming to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What he came is that you would recognize him as your Savior, as the way of salvation for you. And you know, as we read through the New Testament, we come, John, who was one of the apostles, and he's an old man, and he's writing to people, and towards the close of his life, and he says, we have seen, and we have testified, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He says, I saw him. And I have told you about him. And the Father sent him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is coming through Jericho to go unto the cross of Calvary, he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I wonder if you ever appreciate what that means, the lost. That when the Bible speaks of a person that is lost, it means that they are lost to God. That means that they are far away from God. And going with their backs towards God, they're going further and further away. And God would desire them to come into his presence And so the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary that no one would be lost. And the Apostle Paul, when he is writing, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, that which I also received. And he's telling them that I received Christ as my Savior. I recognize that he came into this world according to the promises of the Old Testament. And that he went to the cross according to the promises. And that he rose again according to what God had promised. And he says, I believed him. And you know, I think of that coming. You and I are living in the day that encompasses that coming. We are living in the good of that coming, when the Lord Jesus came, that we might be forgiven of all of our sins. And the Apostle Peter, in speaking to a number of individuals, said unto them that to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. If you believed on him tonight, you would receive some remission of sins. You would be cleansed and fit for God's presence. Do you know him as your Savior? He came to be your Savior, if you would have him. Do you know your sins forgiven? The Apostle Paul gave a warning, and he says, now is the accepted time. No, today. Now is the day of salvation. This is your opportunity. There is no promise that you will ever have another opportunity to trust Christ. And I think of the story, and you can probably remember the story of the Philippian jailer. The Philippian jailer was neglecting the way of salvation. He had obviously heard the Apostle Paul preaching, Paul and Silas preaching. But he had neglected his way of salvation. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And he was shaken. And he realized this, that he needed a Savior. And when we read in Acts chapter 16, we read of how he called for a lamp. And then he went into the prison. And he took out Paul and Silas and brought them out. And he said this, what must I do to be saved? I wonder, have you ever thought in your mind that question? What must I do to be saved? And they were very glad and very happy to tell him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, today is your opportunity for salvation. Today is your opportunity to flee unto Christ for salvation, because there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus will step again upon this world, and he will come with vengeance to defeat all the God's enemies. He came as a Savior to save you, but he's going to come as a sovereign. And he will rule this world with a rod of iron. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, could say these words, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire of vengeance upon them that know not God." And there is that great possibility that if you neglect your day of salvation, which is today, that he will come in vengeance against you. The prophet Zechariah forecasted, he said, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, that day when he shall come as the sovereign." And God says, "And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. And then shall the Lord go forth and punish every one of those nations. And his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives." He's coming. He's coming in vengeance. But before the coming of that coming, there shall be 7 years of terror upon this earth. Many shall die. Millions and millions of people shall die. And the ecosystem of the whole world will be destroyed. He's coming in vengeance. But before that day of vengeance of our God, the Lord Jesus is coming in the clouds of the air to gather unto himself those who have trusted in him for salvation. Remember that verse that we read? "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels." Remember that verse? We read it. And that coming will be for every believer a day of glory and rejoicing. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples before he went to the cross, could say that in my Father's house are many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." We spoke about the first coming of the Lord. He came as Savior. Then we spoke about the third coming of the Lord Jesus, and he's coming in vengeance, to take vengeance upon all those who have rejected Christ. Now I would like for a little while to speak about the second coming. When he shall come to the air, he'll not step upon the earth at that time. He's going to come to the clouds. We saw the Lord Jesus Christ as he came as the Savior. We saw him coming as the sovereign to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But now I would like you to think of him coming as the chief shepherd. And when I think of him coming as the chief shepherd, I think now will be truly fulfilled John chapter 10 and verse 27. We think of that verse. It will be perfectly fulfilled. "My sheep hear my voice." He's going to come with a shout. And all who have trusted in Christ will hear that voice. And they will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Then it says, "And I know them." And Paul, writing to Timothy, could write these words, "The Lord knoweth them that are his. I know them." And way over in Psalm 87, we find these words, "The Lord shall count when he writeth up," or when he gathereth up, "the people, that this man was born there." He knows everyone who has trusted in him. And when that shout is given, it says in the next part of that verse, "And they follow me." They come. And you think of that. My sheep hear my voice. And we're going to hear that voice. And it's going to call unto him, us to come. And I know every one of them. And they will follow me. They will come to me. And I think of those words in the Thessalonians that speak of his coming. "For the Lord himself shall come from heaven with a shout." That's that call, that voice. "And with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, those who have died before he comes, but have known the Savior. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I wonder, will you be in that company? Has there been a day when you recognized that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior, and that you would, in your heart and in your mind, utter those words of the Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" And to hear the words of the Savior, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And I think of that day. It will be a day of blessing. Our verse said that the Lord would, he would give every man a reward for everyone. And I think of that at the last verse, the closing of our New Testament. And the Lord Jesus is saying, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his deed shall be." So it will be a blessing for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, speaking to Jeremiah, could utter these words, "I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end, or better, to give you a future blessing and a hope." And God has a hope, a blessing in store for every single believer. But you know, I think as well, it's a day of change. And in the words to the Philippian jailer, it says that he shall change our vile bodies, our bodies of humiliation, and to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Do you know, many of us have physical ailments, and they won't be there. He's going to change those of our bodies of humiliation unto a glorious body like his own. And to the Corinthians, the word was, "We shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Do you have that promise of a changed body? When I look through the Word of God, I find that for the Christ rejecter, there is no promise of a changed body. The bodies of aches and pains that they go into eternity with will be with them throughout eternity. No promise of a changed body. But to us who have trusted Christ, there is a promise of a changed body. And I think of it as a day of spiritual rewards. The Apostle Paul, as he came to the close of his life, and writing to Timothy, could say that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not to me only, but to all who love his appearance. What is righteousness? Have you ever wondered what righteousness is? Well, very simply, righteousness is pleasing God. Righteousness is doing that which brings pleasure to the heart of God. Isaiah spoke of our righteousness before salvation, and all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. But once salvation, we have the opportunity to please God. And the Apostle Paul encouraged the Colossians that they would seek to please God, that they would have that righteousness and know that righteousness. And everyone who has trusted Christ can look forward to a crown of righteousness, for they have pleased God. They pleased God the day they trusted him for salvation. But Peter, in speaking in 1 Peter chapter 5, he speaks about, you shall receive a crown of glory. And everyone who has trusted Christ will have a crown of glory. They will enter into heaven's glories with a crown. I wonder, can you think with confidence that I have pleased God by accepting Christ as my Savior? Do you think, have you ever comprehended what that meant to the God of heaven the day that you trusted Christ for salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ said there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that trusts Christ. And you think of that, joy in God's presence. They're rejoicing because God is glorified. What brings glory to God brings joy to the angels. But before the day of rapture, you have an opportunity to get ready. Are you ready? Do you know, I thought of two warnings in the Bible that speak of a day when after that moment there will be no more opportunity. I think of the children of Israel in Egypt and the day of their redemption. And when we read in Exodus chapter 12, we read that they were to take that month as the first month of the year. And for 10 days, they were to look over their flocks, With this view in sight, they were going to take a lamb on the 10th day. And then on the 10th day, they were to take that lamb and they were to examine that lamb and prove that that lamb was without spot and blemish. And then on the 14th day, they were to take that lamb, put its blood on the lintel and the doorposts of the door, and then to go in and shut the door. That was their part. And you know, I thought of this. From the first of the month to the 10th day was a time of remembrance and reflection. They were to remember all the way that God had been dealing with the people in Egypt. And I would liken that to the days of the Lord Jesus recorded in the Bible, that we have an opportunity to read about those, to read about him and his walk upon this scene. And then from the 10th day to the 14th day, they were to observe the lamb. They were to trust God's promise. It is like our day when we have an opportunity to trust Christ for salvation. The Lord Jesus is not walking this scene now. He's in heaven's glories. But we have an opportunity. And then on the 14th day, the Lord passed through the land of Egypt. The redeemed were saved, and death entered the houses of the unbelievers. And I think for this, we have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity to be ready when the Lord will pass through this land and gather up all that have trusted in him. And then I thought of Rahab in the city of Jericho. And the Hebrew writer records these words: by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And I think of that scene. Two messengers came into Jericho. And I think of this: the grace of God to a condemned city. God and grace sent two messengers. And to all of Jericho, there was an opportunity for salvation, the mercy of God, grace and mercy. Grace to enter the city, God's mercy. All in the city could trust. But only Rahab believed. There was acceptance. And after 10 days, the grace of God to a condemned city ended. The walls of the city collapsed. And the armies of the Lord entered the city, exacting punishment on all that but refused to believe. But she was redeemed. She was saved. And I think of that vision of Rahab being delivered from destruction, the children of Israel delivered from destruction. And I think of us. We who know Christ as our Savior, we will be delivered from the destruction that will come upon this world when the Lord comes in the clouds of the air. And I ask you this question: Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be ready when Christ comes? Will you be ready? He's coming. Let us repeat that verse again, that you might take it home with you. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's coming to call unto himself, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He's coming. Shall we pray?